listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
It's all right. I'm here. Don't dial up. Don't dive in. I'm here. I was just in the kitchen making coffee because it's the 4th of July. And although I normally drink tea, today is the day of coffee. Now, let me just say, I've got to stop that. I'm going to turn that off. There we go. That's better. I think I'm recording this. Let me just check this on the RIPS Studio B. 07050102. Okay, yeah, so, it's now the, it's the 4th of July for Americans and, for people in Britain. It's the 5th of July. And, good afternoon, good morning and, good afternoon to you if you're in the Far East. So, what's happening? I don't know. There's lots of things going on the planet. What's going on in my life? I've been having great fun with, my electrical bicycle. I rode it into town today, with my special battery pack on the back of it. And, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Just pedaling away and being enhanced. Well, I mean, it's basically got this motor, that has a battery attached to it. And it's just a bicycle. It's not like a motorbike or anything like that. So it doesn't go fast. It only goes as fast as a bicycle goes. And the motor only goes at a sort of fixed speed. It's just great. Where I live, it's very hilly and the hills are really tough on the legs, especially for a little fat man like me. Now, is this coffee all right? Oh yeah, that's good. That's a good one. Oh wow. Yes. Yes, that's the good coffee. Let's have some more of that. Let's pour some more into that. Okay, yeah. So, if you'd like to, somebody called in today. I wonder if they were trying to call into a show. You can call in on, I'll do ray readings. I'll do all sorts of things. I'll talk to anybody about anything. If you've got a problem, discuss your dilemmas. If you want, I can be your agony aunt, your yoga instructor. Certainly I can, see if we can, move you through that place. Or not. You can, call in and just talk about, well, I mean, I'd rather talk about stuff that's useful for people, you know, rather than just blah, blah, blah. Cause there's so much going on. Oh my Jesus. All right. Let's see if I can, all right. What's going, I mean, there's stuff going on underground. There's like all kinds of volcanic activity, you know, those of you who have noticed Yellowstone kind of, that's been boiling like a kettle for the last 2 months. That's quite interesting. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Let me just see in the chat room in, Wolf Spirit. Yeah, there we go. Hi all. If you'd like to call in, I now have a call-in number. A call to listen number, I spoke to Bill Freese of the TalkStream Live people and he gave me this number, which is fantastic. And it's even got 432 in it, which really made me very happy.
And you can call in any day, any time of day or night, and it will connect you with the Wolf Spirit Radio number. And I'm just trying to find a tab that has got the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room, and by my computer's ground to a halt, so that's not going to be doing anything. Anyhow, if you'd like to call in, it's the 4th of July. Would you like to celebrate your independence? Or celebrate, maybe we could have an Interdependence Day. Oh my God, there are 23, something comes up on there. You know about 23. I don't know if anybody's ever read the book by Robert Anton Wilson called Illuminati. It's essentially 23 just occurs all over the place, and what was interesting about that book is that I could really feel for the character. I really kind of felt like the inside of that character. I kind of got him, the point, you know, the page in the book where I finally sort of had read enough. I finally thought, oh, this character, I can really identify with this character. And I looked up and it was on page 23. 23 occurs everywhere. If you look at it just as the numbers, you know, 2 and 3, they're, you know, the second and third. If you look at in terms of the rays 2 and ray 3, that's the soul and personality of humanity. If you look at, the harmonics, the harmonics of 2 and harmonics of 3. Well, that's in fact what creates 432. Using, the multiples of 2 as octaves and the multiples of 3s as harmonics. That's the same as the second and third harmonic and all of that stuff. So, that has all these beautiful geometric fractal patterns that emit out of just 2 and 3. But you will notice if you listen to a news program, every news program and every science fiction show, every single one, maybe even comedies as well, every single one, you'll see a 23 in it. And the first couple of times you'll think, it's just a coincidence. JP was just talking. It's just a coincidence. Check it out. Every single, you know, there'll be like 23 people injured on a train crash, or there are 23 million, you know, this or that. It'll come up. It really will. 23. Check it out. What does it mean? Well, who knows? We do know that, 23 has a kind of rolling characteristic to it, you know, like it's like having 5 wheels, you know, you never get a stability. It's always a dynamic rolling instability that creates the 23. Anyway, so now where was I? 4 through to 32, because we got the new telephone number. I was just going to find the new telephone number and see if we can we get there. So I'll just go to the Wolf Spirit page. And yes, so there's all these other things. There's Freedom Screen 2, if you want to come in on Skype. There's the Wolf Spirit Radio number, which is Wolf Spirit Radio. There's over Skype. There's the all sorts of other ways. There's telephone numbers aplenty. All right, okay, so here we go. If you want to call in, we've got the 775-773-3431. We've got a UK number, 444-0141-356-4141. But here's the thing, this is the real neat one. If you want to listen to this show, take a pen and 712-432, yeah, there we go. So 712-432-9588. 712-432-9588. Now that's not to talk to me, that's just to hear me. In fact, everything that's going to be played on Wolf Spirit Radio. So that's really good. I do half of it a week. I do 3.5 days a week, and Colleen Kelly does 3.5 days the other lot, the interlocks, and we have this yin-yang kind of station interlocking with these two presentations. So... Mm. That is good coffee. A little watery for my liking. I would have, I should have put more. Maybe the water needed to be hotter. Anyway, like I said, I was making that coffee just at the time when the show was running, so. Well, there you go. You can put our chat listen link in TalkStream Live as well. Maybe, yeah, that might be a good idea. So, yeah. 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 So, we'll see what happens, when we tune in and, we connect with some people who are going to be connecting sometime this week. Some people need to come online or update Skype before they can join this call.
Hi.
Some people, I said this thing, some people, blah, 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 and then I looked at this screen, and I'm not kidding, I wish I had screen grabbed it there, because it just said some people on this call. It really did, a little, you know, little black box with red writing, some people on this call, da 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 da. I am joined like down the middle,
by some people.
Some people just call in and brighten my day. Listen, everybody, this is, Nora. Where are you speaking from just now, Nora? You're a jet setter.
First of all, hello everyone. Hi, JP.
Hi.
I'm calling from Italy. I'm in a town very close to Milano. It's 2:15 a.m. I'm just listening to your show and was feeling a little bit lonely.
Oh.
So I thought I'd call in and, you know, just have some fun.
Well, look, we're going to have a very special week, aren't we?
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I mean, this is just like...
I'm counting the hours.
The thing is, Nora, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be like, you know, you're going to be here on my most busy day. All right.
Wow.
Radio wise. So, you know, I hope you don't mind. Probably it'd be quite relaxing. I'm going to sort of build a little sofa for you so you can sit comfortably and observe what's going on, and also set up a mic, so that you can join in the proceedings.
That would be awesome.
And, you know, that, I'll be doing the Andronicus papers. We'll do a full spectrum science as well with Alan James from Ireland. And then we'll have, Sean David Morton show, on Thursday, in the evening.
Wow.
Yeah. So that,
shows.
Yeah. So that's 6 hours, 6 hours.
That's but, awesome.
Yeah. So you'll be getting like a front row view grandstand. And I'll make you cups of tea or coffee or whatever you want, really.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, JP. I can't wait. I can't wait to see you in action.
Oh yeah, you can't wait to just hang out here and you know, scrape yourself through the rubble, and the chickens and the, yeah, actually the chickens are pretty well behaved. They do scram if you say go away.
Oh, it's okay. I've had a funny, situation with a chicken when I was very young.
Did
it
you?
Pooped on me. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. But I love them.
Are you traumatized from then on?
Well, when I was a kid, I was crying and my uncle was laughing at me, which was really hysterical when I look back. But it's just, because I love them so much, I want to put them on my lap. I guess she got really, really relaxed.
Yeah, that's the thing about chickens. About most birds. They don't care. They don't care. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, they're not even sorry. It's like,
no.
It's not even a thing. It's just a, like, you know, I'm just breathing
well,
out.
Actually, yeah. If I look back, I should be kind of flattered, actually.
Yeah. It's good luck, isn't it?
Supposedly. It is. Absolutely. Well, regarding the readings, you already did a reading for me, which was amazing, because since that day, I really noticed an amazing change. Everyone, seriously, get a reading with JP. When I hang up, just call in, because he's really amazing. I'm not just saying this. Something did change in my life since I did that reading with you, and I'm extremely grateful.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for your testimony. If you go to everbeyondradio.com, I collect testimonies from people who have had readings or healings from me. So Just a paragraph is brilliant.
I'll do that.
Yeah, check it out. It's just really lovely. You know, I tell you, it's really lovely. It's the greatest thing to hear from somebody that you've changed their life for the better, or you've given them the key to a better life themselves.
Yes, I'm sure that's a very gratifying feeling, for sure, for sure. Mm. That's amazing.
So, you're up really late, aren't you, Nora?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm having difficulty sleeping, so, I mean, when I can't sleep, I just go on the radio and I listen to you guys. It just entertains me so much, just listening, hearing your voices. It feels like I'm listening to family. So I'm sure everyone in all the listeners feel the same way.
Well, that's going to be excellent. Just to clear up, if anybody's wondering what we were talking about, Nora is actually coming across. She lives in Italy today, but sometime towards the end of the week, she's going to be in Scotland. And not only is she going to be in Scotland, she's going to come all the way because Edinburgh is 5 hours on a train. It's like a train. It's like Hogwarts. And then you go to Inverness and you have to get on another train that's even smaller. And then once you get off this train, you have, I'm going to have to send somebody, or I'll borrow somebody or send a cab, and they'll take you to my house. And, it's in the middle of nowhere. So make sure that before you come that you've got things that you think you might need to buy in a shop. If you see what I mean. Because it's a long way from places.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I have normal things, but there might be things that you need that I don't know about, so if you have any esoteric needs, just make sure you've got some on your own. Listen, we've got Darth Vader on the phone. You can Are you my
for
father?
For sure, for sure. What is it?
Christy, hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How did you know I'm Darth Vader?
Because I look at Vader.
So I know who Nora is because I listened.
You listened?
Oh, awesome. Hi.
Yes, hi, Nora. I've listened to you several times on your shows.
Oh, thank you so much. So I didn't catch your name.
My name is Chris.
Chris, hi, Chris.
He can call me anything he wants. He calls me Christy. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, awesome. It's really nice to hear from you. It's really nice to hear that you listened into a few of the shows that I did with mostly Nancy.
I have. So JP answered the phone, and I was listening to you talking with him, and then I knew who you were.
Oh, okay.
So I listened to you with Nancy and Walt, and who's the other person that produces those shows? Colleen.
Oh, Colleen, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
I listened to you. I do. I love your perspective. Because
thank
I'm
so
American,
much.
And I'm so longing to have an expanded perspective. So you provide that, and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. I could do that, really. That was, I think, the main reason why I was so eager to know, because as you know, we all are aware that we're not very helpful with that. So it's really good to be able to get all together and talk and just give each other we each individually have. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I love asking to the to whatever's out there that we ask to. I love asking for more awareness and a larger perspective and then listening for what comes in, and you are one of the things that has come in.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes.
One of the mouthpieces of the universe.
Yes. 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 As well as the other people on Wolf Spirit, you're just one of the newer ones. And
I feel very honored to be here.
Been wonderful. I've listened to your move to Italy, and are you getting settled?
Yes, yes. It's still very new. I've been here for a couple of weeks. It's been a bit challenging, to be honest, because a move is always very difficult, especially because I haven't been here in so long. I left Italy about 17 years ago, so I was a kid at the time. I left when I was 14. So now I'm back
as
an adult.
Language?
Yes, I do.
You speak Italian? You do.
Yeah, I do. But it's
that's
just coming back as an adult.
Interesting combination.
It is a very weird combination. Yeah.
Hey, not weird. Just really unique.
Yeah.
Maybe very helpful.
It is. It has its pros and its cons, I have to say, because the pros is that you really, really get enriched culturally, mentally, and all that. But you also suffer a little bit because it's very hard for you to fit in. If you're, for example, for me, if I'm in Saudi, I don't feel like I fit in. Same thing here. Even though people say, oh yeah, but Italy, you know, it's an open country, it's liberal and everything, but still they have their prejudice and their judgment. And so
from the influence side, what first hits me, you can tell me if this happens for you, it sounds like a confluence of the Vatican and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen for you?
No, sorry, what was the question?
It sounds like you, when you go to Italy and you bring your background from the Arab culture,
yeah,
you have a confluence of the Vatican and Islam. So
yeah,
you meet somewhere,
exactly.
Wherever it is for
yes.
you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The funny thing is because I'm not a religious person at all, and kind of see through.
It's cultural.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's
very
true.
I don't want to break up too much, but when you're very close to the mic there, Chris, and when Nora is speaking and you breathe, we can't hear what she's saying. So if you wouldn't mind, just when you're listening, to back off from the microphone a bit. Just tilt the phone away from your... Yeah, that's better. Thank you. Sorry, Nora, please go ahead.
No problem. No, not at all. Yeah, so as I was saying, that the whole religious thing, because to me religion is very much tied into culture. They're kind of the same thing almost, at least the way people view it or practice it. And I understand how both work, and I don't personally agree with a lot of it, whether it's from the Italian side or the Christian the Catholic side or from the Islamic side. So, but at least understanding both, I can kind of give a perspective in the sense that when people are fighting or when people are have misunderstandings, I can kind of come in and make a bridge. And that works sometimes, but not always. So that's kind of the thing that I could do from my perspective. I don't know if that's
yeah. I think that this is an interesting position to be in. And one, obviously, you know, if you've been paying, you know, I find myself as well. You know, I'm halfway between Catholic and Jewish, and there you are.
Exactly.
And you find yourself kind of that. You know, look left, and there's the Catholics. Look right, and there's the Jews, and they're like, well. Just a minute. Well, they both seem to be completely oppressive. You know, they make everybody feel guilty. You know, they all seem to have satanic influence.
Exactly.
It's like, everything they tell us is wrong. Therefore, if they say they're good, they're not. So, when you have to start thinking, well, what is good? What does good mean? How in a place where there is no dogmatic this is good and this is bad. How do you know what is good and what is bad? Let's get down to some really sort of some deep thinking here, my sisters, and let's get down to it because we need to know what really is good and what really is bad so that we can steer our way through this morass.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, William Casey said, if the American public believes all the lies that we've told them, then we've done our job. That's the CIA guy, by the way.
Yeah.
If you don't remember who William Casey is. Anyhow.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So.
That's bad.
So, Chris.
I'll start with that.
You start.
Yeah.
Objectively, if, you know, really zoom out. Really zoom out. How would you do it?
Okay. So, if you're starting with religion, and you're saying, how do we get to away from their definitions of what's good and bad? My suggestion is go to nature. That's what I do. And so I'm standing in a horse corral right now, and that's why probably I have some noise. I'm standing with my horse, and this is what I do to get away from religion, is I take a walk in the forest or wherever I can. If I'm at a beach, I go on the beach and connect with the earth, and that's my neutral. So from neutral, where I'm not judging the people that I know. When I'm at neutral, everything is what it is. And wherever any of the people in my life are, whatever they're doing, wherever they are, that is what they are. And that is zero, because I'm not judging them. And then as I do the different things in my life that I have to do, what I can do from there when I start from neutral or zero is I can choose. If I decide what someone is doing isn't best for me, then I can choose to go another direction. But I don't have to call them bad in order for me to do that, because I don't really know if they're bad. But when things cross over into harming people, if you're going to harm somebody emotionally or if you're going to hurt somebody and murder them, I can call that bad. But that's about it. Other than that, if I just disagree with somebody, I'm not interested in calling them bad. What I'm interested in saying, that doesn't work for me, and I'll go a different direction.
Exactly. I don't think I can top that. That's perfect.
All right, here's the thing. From the sheep's perspective, though, the wolf is bad.
Yeah.
Because the wolf will eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. That's yeah. why.
That's right. So we're
if
in the
I
food
know
chain.
That someone is a wolf, yes, if I know that someone is a wolf, I can know that that's bad. But most of the time, I don't know that someone's a wolf. It's from fear that I perceive and I'm afraid, and then I call people names. So if I let go of fear and I'm at neutral, I'm at zero, I have the capacity to notice danger.
Exactly.
It's actually not as often as we might think. But when it is there, I can notice it if I'm at neutral.
That's the key.
Get myself out of there.
To hold yourself, to be able to hold yourself in that space so that when there is danger, that you notice it. Because
that's right.
Our world is full of alarm signals. You know, we are beeped
that's
at,
right.
blasted at, horned at, klaxoned at all day, every day, from the moment we wake up, and then we, you know, they stop and we go to sleep. And then they start again.
That's right.
You know, so we're all already running on our adrenal glands, you know, and then,
okay.
then we have 432, 440 music and all of that rubbish that keeps us in that non-neutral state. Now, not everybody's going to be able to go out to the forest. Otherwise people wouldn't be
okay.
at work, would they? How?
Okay. If you can't go to the forest, you go to the closest thing to it. So if you're in an office building, and I've been in that part of life too, I've been in the part of life where all I had was office building. So you go to the most calm place that you can. And I'll tell you, for me, there were times when the bathroom in my office building was the most calm place that I could go. So I go there.
Usually is.
I don't
usually
complain.
Is. It's a sanctuary.
I don't complain. I don't say, oh, poor me, the only place I have to go is the bathroom. I say, wow, I have a bathroom. So I go there and I get myself 10 minutes to get myself to neutral. And when I'm there, then I can leave and I can be in my best place, and then I can notice if there's danger. Most of the time, there's not danger. So if I choose to turn on the television and listen to news, I put myself in danger. Nobody did that to me. I chose it.
Yeah.
And I take responsibility for that. So what I'm saying is, in order to get to neutral, I have to take responsibility for all the things I've done to myself to put myself into that heightened state of panic or whatever it is that I'm in, because I chose to listen to the news, or I chose to sit in a place on a street in New York City where everything's coming at me. If I put myself there, I'm responsible for doing that. I can choose to go to the most calm place that I can find in my life. And sometimes it's a basement.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be beautiful, but it can be the best place that I can find. And if I'm humble, I can find it.
Very well said. Absolutely. This takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of discipline.
It takes a lot of discipline, and it usually doesn't happen when you're 14. It usually happens when you're in your 50s.
Yeah, very true.
Because you've been through a lot of things. That's not to say that a 14-year-old can't do it. I think there's people coming onto this planet at very young ages who can do this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can give you an example. For example, my daughter, she's turning 14 this October, and although she's having her struggles, because she's just like me, and, but living in an environment that does not support that. She tells me herself, she's like, you know, Mom, when I feel really down, she's like, I just put on, I mean, she listens to modern music and all that. She's a kid. She's like, I just listen to classical music. And I just sit there and I feel like I'm floating and my mind just switches off and I don't think. And that's the best place. When I'm in that place, that's the best place I can be. And she was just telling me this a couple of days ago. And she said, you know, sometimes I do this exercise where I listen to the music and I start, you know, like drawing with the music. And I do it again with the same piece of music. And I notice that the drawing is exactly the same. I mean, look at these little details. That how little she's just a young girl and how she is so creative at creating things for herself to help her get into that state. And so, yeah, I can confirm what you're saying, that there are kids coming into this world right now that are much more aware of things than we were, than I was at her age. I mean, I was very sensitive at her age. I've been an empath since I was very young, but the amount of awareness that she has, I didn't have it. So, yeah, it's incredible. It's very hopeful.
It sounds like what she's doing is she's finding frequencies.
Yes, exactly.
She's experiencing frequencies and she's noticing the differences.
Exactly.
And then she's choosing. Yeah, and ultimately that's what we all do. We choose. Exactly. Whatever our criteria is, you know, whether we're listening or seeing or feeling or whatever it is, we're noticing frequencies and we're choosing them.
Very true, very true.
You know,
and it's all about self-responsibility.
One of the things that has been happening recently, and it is very strange because it's quite unusual for me. I've got this little voice now that says, I like that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Don't like that. It's really
That's
strange. It's like, I don't need to mess about thinking, do I like that? Do I like the taste? Do I like the texture? And it's very strange because, it's a quality that my son, who's now 20, has had from the moment he was born, almost from the moment he was born, from the moment he was a tiny thing. He, would always know exactly the right thing. When he was 18 months old, and, what did you call it? A pacifier, you know, just toddling about. And we were packing, we were packing up to move. And, I just looked at that, it was some item in my shed. And I said, I really need a box for that. I haven't got a box for that. And, you know, and then he disappeared. I was just kind of muttering to myself. You know, I didn't expect him to go and get anything. Anyway, so he disappears and, you know, as I think, this kid just beebling around like kids do. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, he comes back, Maggie Simpson. And he's got a box in his hand that is the perfect size for the thing that I wanted. And that was the first time I saw this little
That's
quality.
Amazing.
Right? And this is the most amazing one. Now, when he was about 11, 12, I think, he needed glasses. He needs spectacles. And so we went to the shop and, so, you know, there is an optician shop and there is a wall of spectacles. You know, there are like, how many, 10, say there's 10 to each column and there's about 30 columns. And I said, just go over there and pick yourself a frame. And he walks over and walks back with a frame in his hand. And I said, you're kidding. Like, yeah, absolutely. How could you possibly have chosen in that moment, you know? And so, I had to do the old 3D thing. So I schlepped him over to the rack of the glasses and I looked down and we tried each one on. And tell you what, he got the best pair of glasses straight away. And after that, I didn't argue. And in fact, I used to go, I now ask him, can you go and choose that for me? But it's like, I'm getting that as well. It's like, I like that. It's the thing, it's tuning into it's a delicious little vibration that is just right.
Yes.
And again, this is what all of these millennials are doing. They're just so tuned in. That's what they're not untuned. We've been untuned. And they're just as they are should and as they should be, because we did our best not to mess them up like we have been, to give
That's
them the
exactly
best
right.
best possible start in life as children of the new age, of children who are vibrationally aware and aware of the different rules and everything like that. So it's all hardwired, you know. They have reality creation hardwired into them. It's amazing. These are the seventh ray children. Yeah.
What does seventh ray mean?
Well, you know, there's the Piscean age and the Aquarian age, yeah?
Yes.
Well, that's one way of saying it. There's another thing you were saying you understand about frequencies, yes?
Yes.
You know about musical notes, yes?
Yes.
So musical notes are frequencies, yeah?
Yes.
So
yes.
Instead of saying an A, instead of saying an a B, which you could say was Piscean age, you could say an A, which is Aquarian age, couldn't you? Okay, so changing of frequency, and all around we're seeing a shifting of frequencies. People are saying the Schumann wave, oh, it's nibbling up, it's nibbling down, who knows where it is today. All the waves are changing. The frequency of the sun has gone from yellow to white. It's frequency, that's what it is. It's frequency. Changing, it's going from golden to blue. Yeah?
Yeah, and I don't know the names of things and the numbers, but when I meditate, I see colors. And so I've seen colors changing in meditation.
Yeah, people are seeing...
And I don't know what it means.
All right, people are seeing new colors in meditations and new colors in their chakras.
Yes.
And this is the whole activation of the light body. There's all these 12 strands that are lighting up. Each strand represents a different race. Each strand represents a different tone, frequency. Each strand represents a different geometric form. Each strand represents a different quality, superpower, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense?
Yes, it's making sense. I hear those things, and then I experience what I'm experiencing. What I haven't been able to do yet is connect all the dots. I don't know exactly what's going on. I see some differences when I close my eyes and meditate. I communicate with animals. And I had a friend ask me today, I was feeding her cat, and she asked me, would you tell me what color you see his aura? So I took a few minutes to meditate and ask to see him, and I saw him purple, and so I thought, he's very spiritual. Then I saw him blue and then red, and then he ran away. And I thought, something's going on here. He was irritated with me tuning into him. It's like he was embarrassed to be seen in that way.
Yeah, cats are very, they're very sensitive to be embarrassed. It's the funniest thing. But why was he embarrassed?
That's exactly what happened. Well, I haven't gone to why he was embarrassed yet. What I try to do when I do this kind of work is notice what is, going back to, you know, our other previous conversation. That's my first step into anything, is to notice what is. I try to stay away from analyzing it. And then if I'm allowed another step, I may go into why is it that way. But I don't enter that realm unless I'm invited. So in his case, I didn't feel invited. I noticed him as very spiritual. So purple was spiritual. He went to blue, which meant communication. I immediately saw that as he's communicating with the spirit. And then he went to red, and he was embarrassed, and he ran away. So I did not continue to look into what was going on with him. I felt that I was not invited to know anymore. And I'm fine with that. I don't need to enter into a realm that I'm not invited into. So, but the other color that is coming up more often is a mixture of yellow, gold, and orange. And it's not completely yellow, gold, and it's not completely orange. It's somewhere in between.
Would you say there's a tinge of green in there?
Yes, absolutely. And it comes as an edge. There's an edge of green. It's not, so it isn't completely one thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting thing.
If you know
thing.
What it is, I'd be very interested. I don't know. I'm observing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I do best as an observer. I'm not skilled yet as an interpreter. I would love to continue my journey and to learn more about interpretation. Right now, I observe.
Do you speak with your guides? Do you have a verbal communication with your higher self?
I do. My clearest communication with my guides is through a medium that I do contact.
Right. Do you write it down? I would recommend you started writing it.
Okay.
Just because,
yes,
I've
been doing some writing.
You're totally there, right? You've got all the facility, right?
Yeah.
There's one thing you haven't got, and that's a lack of self-doubt. And the more you do this, the more you do this, that will dissolve, right? Because
yes, and that is what the last call I had with my medium. She said to me, "You can do everything I do."
Exactly.
She said,
exactly. Why are you?
Don't do it.
So here's the thing: is why are you abdicating your responsibility to connect
to
with
her.
Your own higher self? To
right.
her.
Yes, and that was her question as well. So
mm-hmm.
she told me meditate more. She told me to change my diet, make it very light. And so I'm in the transition of that. And I find that when I enter something, when I take a step to endeavor to know something, to learn something, I immediately get information. And so I think you're right. I'm apprehensive to interpret it because I'm afraid I'm wrong.
All right. Now there's the thing.
Yeah.
All right. So what would happen if you were wrong?
I think I would take another step. I think that maybe then the next step would open up, whatever comes after that step where
mm-hmm.
you can know what it means, then there's probably another step.
Yeah. So, well, now, in terms of interpretation, there's feelings.
Yes.
They're not interpretations. There's nothing that needs to be interpreted about a feeling. In the same way that when you saw that cat and you peered over with all of your senses and you saw these colors, you felt
mm-hmm.
something, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did. And what I know is that when I see something, it overrules what I'm feeling. So before I knew that I could see something, what my experience was that I sensed things and I knew things through sensing without any vision.
Right. So here's
then
the thing.
I stepped into vision, and I wasn't paying attention to the feeling. So yeah. I need to add them together.
This is the thing. This is exactly the right. If I could sum it up in a single sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself believe your heart more than your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If you could nuggetize that, you know, just reduce that to even fewer words to make it an incredibly powerful mantra that
mm-hmm.
will literally bring you to your spirit. Kicking and screaming. And, you know, on your knees, because you'll realize, Oh, right, okay, sorry. Yeah. And all of this stuff,
yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of reasons
it's
that you
somewhat
don't.
Somewhat silly.
Yeah. But there's a lot of reasons that we do it.
Yes.
And I get the feeling that you might not forgive yourself so easily if you did. So
Probably true.
This is the place to start, is in, you know, being able to forgive yourself, and just let it, I mean, they were talking about forgiveness earlier on. I was listening to the show earlier just as it was running out, and they were talking about forgiveness, and Hiro was saying, oh, I can't forgive easily and all that stuff. You know, say there was, a very rich superstar, you know, walking down the street, and you were so overawed by them that you fell backwards over a parapet, broke your neck, right, and spent the rest of the days in hospital, right?
Yeah.
And that superstar, by the time this had happened, it already gone past, you know.
Yeah.
Has no idea that happened as a result of them.
Right.
And yet, that poor person has been laying in hospital thinking, oh, I'll get them, I'll go up to them one day and I'll say, you did this to me. You know, I'm just actually listening to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and there is this character, there is this energy in there. So
I was listening to it, it was hilarious.
Isn't it? Oh, it's brilliant.
I enjoyed it.
I was listening, yeah, I was listening also.
And it's just so today, you know, I just randomly found the entire back catalogue of it, and I downloaded it, and I've been converting it, you know, making the, because the volume was a bit tricky at the beginning, but I fixed it all now, so I've tidied it all up, so I've got it all playable. But you know, I just, and there it is this character who at one point was a bowl of petunias. Everything that is unfortunate that happened to anybody in this thing as a result of Arthur Dent was this single one character who received all of his, you know, all of his mire, all of his darkness was absorbed by this one character who grew to have, you know, infinite hate for Arthur Dent. Built a statue, a theatre, what was it, a cathedral of hate to him. And, you know, Arthur Dent has no idea.
Yeah.
So who needs to be the forgiving one?
Yeah, it's all happening inside of me, or inside of each person who's working through their experiences.
Now, as you were saying before, and you used a good term there, is charge, where you go to neutral.
Yeah.
You get, you know, you're not positive charge, you're not negative charge, you're just neutral. And that's good. That's in a state of waiting, of readiness, of listening. And again, Nora posted something today, and I can't remember what it was. What was your quote? Because I remember what I said.
Can I swear?
Go ahead.
I said, assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups.
Yep. And so, actually, can we say that? Oh no, we're on Studio B, and it's July the 4th, so nobody's listening. So,
okay.
So assumptions. Right? People make assumptions. And that puts them in a bubble of unreality.
Right.
Right? From the word go. You've just assumed something. You just assume that because you've said it, that everybody heard it. You may have a very strong accent And people might mistake some of the words for other words, which might imply that the statement that you just made has an opposite meaning to the one you intend.
Yeah, very true.
So, and I said, so in response to this mother's day, right, you know, I said, communication is 99% listening.
Yeah.
You know, there's no very point, true. You know, I could shout from the rooftop, but nobody's listening, no, there's no point.
Okay. There's something that I'd learned. Something that Please. I learned from life, a very harsh lesson, is that at the end of the day, you can be as considerate to others, but there may be a limit as well. Because, as you said, communication is about listening. So if the other person is not willing to listen, no matter what you say, whether you are trying to communicate something positive or not, the person is not going to listen because they're not willing to receive. So you need to let go and not take offense or not take it too much at heart. I'm saying this because I had this problem where because I was always thinking about others in the sense of not wanting to hurt their feelings, and that's dangerous because it could get to a point where you lose your sense of self. You forget what's good for you because you're so focused on others, and then you realize at the end that you end up with nothing, and that's also you do that to yourself, and so yeah, sometimes you can just feel free to say what you want. If people want to misunderstand it, then it's their choice. Again, it's all about balance. So if you know that you are doing things as best as you can, you communicate as best as you can with all the awareness that you can have within you, then that's it. You should not be too harsh on yourself. Life shouldn't be that complicated. I don't know. This is something that I had to learn the hard way. So that's why I'm bringing it up. I'm going back to forgiveness because it's also attached to forgiveness.
I think it's about steps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people try to make too large a step and fall over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people talk about making baby steps and it sounds like really belittling and minimizing what's really important is, all right, so I used the term start small. It's really easy to start small. You just have to turn your direction slightly and then start again in a very small way and just build up from that. And it's great not to be over ambitious because then you just set yourself up for failing again, because most of the time, and really a lot of it, you know, a lot of people do these huge things just in order to set themselves up to fail or to stress about failing. You know, people need to feel the stress of, I am going to fail this if I don't, you know, I'm going to destroy the world if this doesn't happen. Yeah. They put so much stress on them, but it's actually to trigger themselves back into a place where they were so stressed that they couldn't cope with it. And so they've pushed that part out, and that's the personality fragmentation process of healing.
Is it like an addiction?
Yeah.
Are you?
Addiction can take that form as well. You know, it's... Mm-hmm. Right, so what is the addiction? The addiction, you're running away from something, aren't you? You're running away from a feeling.
Exactly, yes.
So...
Yeah, if you believe that a certain outcome is a failure, only because you believe it, it may not be. But if your idea is that if this doesn't happen, I'm a failure, then you can run away from that and become addicted to something that numbs your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, there's all kinds of different things people use.
It could be emotions as well.
Yes, but underneath that is a belief. So if you remove that belief and you don't have a belief that says, you know, this thing is failure, then you can go in that direction and you don't feel failure.
Just as the line failed.
Oh my God. Just like what happened to me a few minutes ago.
Oh yeah. There does seem to be a lot of, here we come. Here she comes again. So she must have just kind of gone. Did you go out of zone, Chris?
You know, my phone just died.
It died in my hand.
Can I finish my thought?
Yeah, please.
Of course. Yeah, so what, this is something I've been really exploring, is learning to notice what I believe about something and the meaning that I've assigned to a particular thing. I can change that. So if I decided that some particular outcome means failure and I notice that, then I can change that. I can change it to neutral. I can change it, but it doesn't mean anything. It just means that's my outcome, and I can choose a different thing from there if I want to. But noticing whatever I have assigned to it is a very powerful thing that gives me control over my own life. And what I learn is that I don't have control over anybody else or anything else, but I do have control over what I believe. If I'm in touch with noticing what I believe.
Yes. Yes, very true.
Well, are you in a wind tunnel there, Chris?
I don't mean to be. I'm in my car and I'm going home. I was with my horse and that's why I was in the wind. So I'm driving home. It takes me 2 minutes to get there. And then I won't be outdoors anymore.
Oh, okay. We'll wait for you. We're gonna be up against the break in a few minutes.
Okay.
We'll rejoin you on the other side, and hopefully everything will be clean,
right.
And you'll have a nice cup of tea next to you. As will I. In fact, I will have a really nice cup of tea, because as soon as the adverts come on, I'm dashing to the kitchen to get that kettle on. Don't know about you, Nora.
Very good.
I think I should.
There we go. So we'll catch you all in a few minutes' time, brothers and sisters, here on Journeys with JP. Yes, 4th of July. A week went by, and now it's July. Back in. Right, so...
Yes.
Welcome back to Journeys with JP here on Revolution Radio, simulcast with Wolf Spirit Radio, and indeed produced on Ever Beyond Radio, probably also simulcast on Haggy Shack Radio. So, meanwhile, my guest tonight, Nora Willow, and plain Chris, who's been clanging away in the background, where were you?
I'm done clanging.
You've stopped clanging. Thank you.
Stop playing, I'm home.
Go ahead, Nora.
Me? Was I talking?
I heard you take an in-breath. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was laughing.
All right, okay.
What were we saying?
So, meanwhile,
you know what we were talking about was if we can notice what we believe about something, then we have an opportunity to change it if it is good for us to change it. Most of us don't notice what we believe about whatever it is we're doing or we're believing.
How would you go about it?
We don't realize about the words we use.
Mm. How would you recognize that you're acting out of belief as opposed to, for instance, logic?
Okay, so one of the things I do because this interests me and it has for a long time and it's helped me move through many stages of my life, is I ask myself, if I'm doing something that I notice is not working, it's causing me stress or whatever it is I notice about it, I ask myself, what must I believe about this in order for me to be having this outcome? And often it comes to me as a thought, and then I can notice what I'm believing. So for many people, what that is some deep thing they were taught through a religion about being bad or good about a certain thing, which creates a fear of something. And it's many layers down, so we don't notice that that's what's driving us until we ask that question. And then it may be something about mother, father, it could be about, you know, you're bad if you, whatever, you know, I mean, whatever religion it is that's affecting you, oftentimes it's religion,
It can also be something from your family.
Oh, yeah.
And those things can be very deep, and we don't notice them because they're under layers of our subconscious.
Yeah, I think most of it is about self-worth. It's because when you feel that you're not worthy, I think that's the most damaging thing for a human being growing up and, you know, in the developmental years especially, and then you take that with you as you grow older, and you base your experiences on that belief, as you said, that, you know, I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough. And that comes from religion, as you well said. It comes from family upbringing. Because, you know, a lot of kids can be abused verbally and emotionally. That's enough. I mean, even if you're brought up in a family that's not religious. So, I totally agree with you. And it's our job, because a lot of people get stuck in that pattern where I'm a victim. This is what happened to me. And then, but okay, yes, and you need to acknowledge that you've been hurt. But now you're not a child anymore. You can take responsibility and change that. It takes more time.
One of the layers that you work through to get to belief is if you notice that you're blaming somebody.
Yeah.
That's a layer, and you go underneath that to find out what you believe.
Very true.
And underneath that is you believe that you're, like you say, you're not worthy, you're bad, you can't, whatever the words were, that you believe. When you find out what the belief is, you can change it. But we find ourselves powerless to change something when we don't know what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. That's actually the key point. But the thing is, even when you do find out, this is what I've noticed from my own experience, that the process can take time. It's not something that obviously, I mean, I'll give you an example about myself. I don't know if you heard my, my story with Dolly, the first time I came on Wolf Spirit Radio in Haggy Shack. I kind of talked about my story where, you know, there were things that happened. I got disowned by my family, and now it's been over a year. I don't speak to them. The only person I speak to is my father. But I've been practically disowned by everyone. And it is a huge trauma to feel abandoned and rejected. I went through a year where it was very difficult, depression and anxiety and all that, these just really horrible feelings. And then there was a moment where I'm like, oh, okay, I feel like I forgave them. But ironically, just as soon as I moved here to Italy, the feelings after maybe a week started coming back in full force. Mm-hmm. And I started feeling angry again. And then I'm like, wait a second, but I'm lying to myself. I didn't forgive them. So mm-hmm. I think these things take time. The forgiveness is not one, it's not like one shot where you say, okay, I forgive them, that's it. It's like different layers. You forgive, and then there's a little bit more to forgive. There's a little bit more to forgive until you get to the deepest level, which is self-forgiveness. Yes. So that's how I kind of interpret it.
Yes, and I agree with you, Nora, and I've experienced many things similar to that. So that's where I became aware of the skill of noticing and learning to notice what's there. And the place where that works is to stand back as the observer of yourself.
Yes.
And without judgment, without condemning yourself, which then leads to unforgiveness, notice and see what is there. And lovingly say to yourself, okay, I see this is there. So what can I do to shift that and to move to a place where I have released the charge? Because my language that I use with myself is I want to be at neutral. I don't want to be against anybody, and I don't need to be for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can be at neutral, so how do I get there? So I look through all these layers of myself, and I see myself blaming people, and I see this this anger, and I feel it. And I can either see it or feel it. That's what works for me, either seeing or feeling. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're describing something very similar.
Yeah.
So when I was aware that was going on for me, I practiced stepping back from that and watching it as an observer and noticing what's going on there and then choosing one by one, like JP said, taking small steps. So I take one tiny piece and I say, okay, I'll work on that. And I'm grateful for the awareness that I was able to know that that's going on for me. Now I can forgive or I can love or I can, whatever's needed. I can listen. Sometimes I need to listen to myself. Just some part of myself wants to be heard.
True.
So I do whatever that is. So it's the noticing. It's that space where I step back that gives me the peace where I can just notice what it is. And then I can say, oh, okay. And then, like you said, I can't condemn myself. I be kind. I'm kind to myself. The other thing that comes from learning to do that is, and when so many of us throughout our life, we've heard, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that makes no sense if you don't love yourself.
Exactly.
So if you can be kind to yourself through noticing these are the pieces that make up you, and you can work very gently and one step at a time with yourself to become the best you that you can be, you can do that with others as well.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm going to tell you something that, it was a little bit difficult for me to admit it to myself, but I think this is where the magic happens. When you can be honest with yourself and you're okay with saying, you know, I thought I was doing this because I believed that I was good. For example, me, I've always tried my best to take care of others, be kind to others. And I did it with conviction, with devotion, because I believed that was the right thing. But then, if you really come from a place of love, for example, for me, the explosion happened when I turned 30, where I became this maniac in the sense that I became so angry that I wouldn't let anyone talk to me in a certain way. So I became very assertive, but in an aggressive way. I didn't have the balance. I came to realize that, wait a second, if I was really loving, I mean, I did do loving things, but we're talking about a deep thing that's only within you that no one knows. If that, if those things were really coming from a loving place, then I wouldn't harbor all this anger within me. So I realized that the reasons why I did all this from a young age was because I wanted so much for others to make me feel that I was worthy. That I could be loved, so I was doing this for survival. You know, this is what children do a lot of times. They, you know, they want to please, they want to do this and that for you because they have a fear of, unfortunately, a fear of being left alone, being rejected. So they do anything to please whoever's around them. But that's not a very good reason to do good things and to be good to people. So going back to what you said, the genuine, true, honest way of practicing love and giving it to the world is first loving yourself. That's the true, genuine place that you start from, not for validation. So that was something that I,
like you're saying, you didn't get to that place until you were in the middle of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful place to be. You've lived a number of years, you've learned a lot of things, and now you're exploring those layers that are underneath the conscious.
Exactly.
And they are actually driving you. And so as you go in to explore those layers, you can then transform yourself by listening, by looking, by noticing, by loving yourself from that perspective. And then you actually change the people around you. You change the environment that you are. So you become a different person. You become new. And so as the people that are in your life experience you, they're now changed because they come into this new energy that you are.
Exactly.
And they notice. They notice you as different. And that changes the world.
That's very true. And ironically enough, sometimes when you do change into that energy or into that frequency, people who cannot accept that new you will just, for some reason, just leave your life.
Yeah, they go away, and that provides for someone else to come in.
Yeah.
And exactly. you grow. And so, and what you're really doing, you're raising your frequency when you do that. And you're inviting in others that are of a higher frequency. And you are growing the higher frequency on the planet by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we have to become the people that we were waiting for. That's,
yes, exactly.
You know, I remember when I was younger, oh yeah, yeah, where's all these millennial, messiahs? Oh crap, yeah. It's me.
Holy, no,
come on, that can't be true. Yeah, it's true. Oh shit.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a nobody.
Yeah, who am I? Chopped liver, as they say. Yes.
So there's this new mix of humility and excitement and wonder and these moments where you're just in the clouds with this new awareness. And then there's times where you're back down in the dirt.
Here's the thing.
You're okay.
All right.
There you go, because this is what it is, and it's all good.
What we're here to do is cleanse. Now, so if you're, for instance, if you're a sewage worker operative, it's all good.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. You're just dealing with sewage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're just dealing with sewage, and whatever it is, you're dealing with it. There's no, oh, that's a terrible one, or this is a good one. It's just sewage. It's just as it is, as you say. So if we take the attitude that, we're just processing this stuff, and that's our job, and we don't have to go into any glamour about it to say, oh, I'm such a light worker, I have to deal with the worst conditions. No, we all have to deal with terrible conditions. I tell you, the condition that we have to deal with, we've already experienced all of our life. That's the condition, and that's what you're here to deal with. It doesn't matter if you're sitting on top of a tree trying to save a forest, or if you're swimming along saving whales. If you haven't got it balanced in yourself, which is the light work that we're supposed to be here for, perhaps you're up a tree because you're escaping the concept of having to deal with it in yourself by seeing yourself as having to deal with some huge outside force and influence that completely takes it away from the idea that I'll have a drop of that champagne. did somebody open a bottle of champagne? I'm sure I had a bottle.
My mug.
Oh.
Oh, well, there's disappointment.
You know what? A moment can all of a sudden show up in your life when you're having champagne. And you welcome that just like you welcome the sewage that comes in. And whatever comes, you say, okay, this is what I have today. I'll do my best with whatever that is. It's like the Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, who said, the way we learn the highest is to chop wood, carry water. If that is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's all teaching us something.
Chop wood, carry water, clean up shit.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind, actually. That life sounds really cool.
And then somebody hand you a glass.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, no, that's true. It's just appreciating every little thing. I mean, for me, it's just something very, very dumb, but I'm going to say it. I've been living most of my life in the desert, okay? I mean, in the city, but around, surrounded by the desert. So you don't see much beauty in the desert, whether it's wildlife or plants or, so here I'm just enjoying every little single thing, to the point that even the little insects that come into the house, I'm like talking to them and just like, oh, you're so cute. Hi, how are you? Of course, if someone hears me, they think I'm crazy, but I love talking to animals and insects.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I have this, some insects freak me out. I'm not going to lie, but I really, I like most of them. So it's just those little things that, it's not about work, but it's also just enjoying and appreciating those small little things, that bring you into that neutral place, as you said, Chris, just bring you into that neutral place where you're just enjoying. Even today, I was coming back up, into the apartment because I'm still staying with my cousin, and, I saw this couple and they had this little child. She was an angel. And she, literally beautiful little baby. She was maybe 4 months old. And, I wasn't looking at her for some reason. I was thinking. I had my head up in the clouds as usual. And suddenly I looked down and I see her staring at me. And I just smiled at her. As soon as I smiled, she started smiling and just kicking her hands and feet. Just the joy, you know. There was just this connection, you know. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. She's just a little baby. But it's just those small little things that do. And I had a really rough day. I've had three difficult days. She made my day. And, I don't know.
That's wonderful.
It is. She gave me something. And she's just a little baby, you know.
She's a reminder.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like it was God smiling at me, you know, source.
Yeah.
Telling me, hey, I'm here. Don't forget me, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really beautiful. So these are the little things that we have to try to enjoy. It's sad when we get to a point where you see a lot of people, they're so busy in their daily lives and very mundane thinking. There's just no magic. Even if you try talking to them about something.
You know, another element of magic is imagination.
Yeah.
So if you notice yourself at a place where you feel like there's no magic, you can spark it whenever you choose. You can decide to imagine something that you would like to bring into your life. And that is the beginning of manifestation.
Yeah.
So these are choices. You know, and so instead of sitting back and going, oh, poor me, nothing ever happens good for me, you can say, at this moment that I notice I would like this and it's not in my life, I'll begin to imagine it. And there's a little bit of effort that's required in imagination. Begin and then continue to bring it into vibrant focus and aliveness, add color, add animation, and you choose that. So it's actually a part of choice to make that effort instead of sitting back and saying, poor me.
Yeah. It's all about choice.
Yeah, it's cheaper to say, poor me. It's cheaper to blame other people because...
Absolutely.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. To do the appropriate thing, to step up.
Yeah.
In these circumstances... are your personal opportunities for mastery, because these are the places that you've come on this planet to heal. Precisely where you've got this kind of, oh, I don't really want to go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are exactly those moments. Those are exactly those places where you just move through that kind of, well, it could be like a jelly-like substance to go through this portal. And on the other side, you come out and you're refreshed and anew, and you realize, hey, I've got the superpower that can do this. I can handle this. I learned this then and I did this then and I did that. And like everything in my life has just come together in this moment. But I could have easily let that opportunity slide because I thought, oh, this or that, you know, I made myself an excuse. So.
Yeah.
Stepping up is a very good thing, and it's a really good cure for victimization.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Instead of moving backwards out of fear, you step forward with the confidence that, so how I picture it, and I do a lot in imagination, when I don't know what's out in front of me, I picture a step rising up under my foot. But I have to put my foot out and begin to put my weight down, and the step rises up under my foot.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
Do you know what it's like? A tank.
What?
A tank has these tracks around them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it makes its own road. It doesn't care. Yeah. It really doesn't give a damn what it's going to go forward onto. It knows that it's going to go, well, it doesn't even have to know.
That's right.
The tank doesn't know. The tank doesn't give a damn because it's got its own road. Yeah. All right. And that's how we are. Or that's how we can become. We know we have infinite road available towards us. We can take any direction which we like. And in fact, you know, here's the thing. People talk about life direction, you know. I need some direction in my life. Yeah. Do you know what direction is? The director of a movie. That's direction in your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who is directing the movie? Chris the movie. So what's going on in Chris the movie, Chris?
Well, it's somewhere in between confidence and faith. And there's a word that I don't know what it is in between there.
we call it chutzpah.
Yeah, okay.
It's like fake it till you make it. There are very few actual words, because audacity is a little too far, cheeky. It's too cheeky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of these things are around the edges of what it really is, and we don't really have a good word for it. But it's that thing where you stick your foot out there, and when your weight changes from one foot to the other, the step comes up underneath your foot.
Absolutely.
And it happens every time.
Yeah,
and,
so that's
I have
the faith.
Lived that way. Yeah.
That's
I've
faith.
Lived that way for a number of, yeah, it's faith. Though, it's, well, and maybe it's the meaning that we assign to words, so, and I'll put it in my, take responsibility for it myself. The meaning that I applied to faith, it doesn't feel exactly right, but that is what it is. So, I just go, even though I don't, and part of why I go is because I've learned I got pushed at a certain point in my life, and what I learned was everything was there that I needed. So it's helped me after that to feel a little more confident to live that way.
Yeah.
And it has always been there for me. So I haven't fallen off a cliff. I believed when I got divorced that it was like walking a plank, and I thought I'm going to walk off to the edge of something and fall off, and that's it, I'm going to die. And I didn't die.
Yeah.
And not only did I not die, all kinds of things have opened up that I would have never imagined. But I was able to imagine those things as I took one step and then the next. I couldn't imagine the whole book, but I could imagine the next page. And that's all I needed. And then I could take the next step.
Exactly.
So it's been a journey that I wouldn't trade for anything. It's fantastic.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. And all of those things that we discussed previously about noticing and the layers and the subconscious and finding out what I believed, I would have never taken that journey if I hadn't stepped off that plank to find out what must I believe that got me to this place. And then how to get out of this place to a better place. And that's what JP was talking about. That jelly, that wobbly place where I can't do this. I have no confidence. And then I step into it anyway, and it all solidifies and becomes solid under my feet.
We can think about it like the birth canal. You know, you are
pushing
your way through, but who is helping you? Your mother. So I see it this way. You make the effort, but there is this driving force that pushes you and is not going to abandon you. It's there with you, and it's going to push you all the way through to where you have to be. And, we can look at it in different ways. It could be Gaia. It could be Source. It could be our spirit guides. It could be everyone, all of them at once. And, just having that feeling and knowing that you're not alone, whether it's the people that, like, for example, the Buddhists say the Sangha, that they're your spiritual family, and the guides that you may not physically see necessarily, you're not by yourself. So you are you are going through your journey, but there is help. And that doesn't mean that we're helpless, that we can't do it on our own, but
I agree with you, Nora.
It's a society. We are at the end of the day, the soul is one. It comes from Source.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, whether you think that there are other spirit guides or whoever is helping you, but they're all a reflection of you in the sense. So it's this society that's all one thing that is helping itself to move forward and experience.
Yeah.
And
when we get to this point to notice all of the forces that are there to help us, I'm also aware of forces that are not there to help. There are forces that are interested, that there would be an interest in not seeing us succeed. All of that's there.
Mm-hmm.
For me anyway, when I stepped back to observe my life and learn the skill of noticing, in addition to noticing the help and create the confidence and the ability to move forward and all of that, there was also the awareness and the noticing of forces that are not there to help. There are forces that are interested in stopping all of the forward movement and development of those of us on this planet. I'm not as interested in knowing a lot about those forces, though
just being
I'm
aware of them.
Yeah, I'm aware that they're there. And so I don't put all my focus on that, though I'm not stupid. You know,
exactly.
And I my awareness is there. I choose to focus more of my intention and my concentration on the forces that are benevolent and that are interested in my development, because that's what I want to know more about. And possibly as we develop and our frequency gets higher, we have the capacity to know more about the negative forces so that we can help others. I'm not sure how all that works. It just feels like that's what.
To me, from my experience, it starts with faith. Obviously, faith in the sense, what do I mean? Knowing, as we said, that there is protection, because God or source, what this intelligence that's everywhere that has created this intelligence that has created all is everywhere. It's in the air you breathe it. It's just everything. So even if you're in the darkest, scariest place, if you in that moment say, source is with me in this second, nothing can harm me. That's the first thing. Second thing is, when there is no fear, when you are in that neutral place, from my experience, because I've had experiences where I've been spiritually attacked. There was a period of time where I was being spiritually attacked when I was asleep. I would wake up paralyzed, you know, like the whole sleep paralysis thing. But I would see things, you know, like holding me. I could see it with my eyes and choking, things like that. And, of course, the first couple of times I was a bit scared because I didn't know what was happening. But then I said to myself, I'm not going to let this affect me. Okay, it's something that not a lot of people may experience, but I know that I'm strong and it's something in me, you know, it's an instinct. And when it started happening again, my reaction would be, oh no, not again. You know, it literally, that was my attitude. And I'm like, I'm not going to take this. You're going to leave me alone right now. And it stopped. It just stopped completely. Another thing that I would actually like to say, and Nancy brought this up in one of the shows a couple of days ago, was it yesterday? I'm not sure, but she was talking about the Shungite and about sage, you know, smudging. Gaia has given us so many gifts, and these gifts are, we can use them to protect ourselves as well. I remember when I was back in Saudi and I was still staying at my family's place. As you know, I mean, even as an adult woman, you cannot have your own home. If you're not married, you stay in your family's home. So I was kind of forced to stay in the house. And I was being abused by my younger brother physically. And there was this one time that something told me, Nora, just smudge your room with sage. I had sage. And just smudge it. And I'm like, okay, I'll smudge it. And I just smudged my room. I just took a shower and I was, you know, just had rollers on my head and I don't know what I was doing in the room. Suddenly he came and he started fighting with me, because I had the windows open. And I became very feisty and, you know, I was like, I'm not going to close the windows. Just get out of my room. What do you want? And back and forth, he pushed me on the bed and, you know, ready to attack. And in that moment, something stopped him. Something stopped him. He could not, because before that it happened, he had no problem. Something stopped him. I knew it. Remember when you were just saying observe, you learn how to observe and notice?
Yeah.
I noticed it. There was like a block. Like he could not get close to me. And he left the room.
But there's something that you had said or you had decided that came before before he stopped? Did you think you stopped him or was there something else outside of you that stopped him?
I wasn't thinking at the moment because for me, I was already in anxiety mode because it happened already a few times. So I was already very Unfortunately, these episodes made me extremely anxious because I felt very powerless, and I'm not a type of person who likes to feel powerless. Not in the sense of life, you know, like you can feel sometimes that you don't have power, but I'm not very, you know, some women, they feel victims. They're like, oh, I can't do anything about it. I don't like to be in that position. I'm quite strong. I have a strong personality. So for me, that's very, very difficult to find myself in that. So that kind of pushed me to the point where I felt so bad that it got me into an anxiety. But I can't tell you if I thought something. All I know is that I was in blank mode. You know when you just get out of your body? Yeah, that's exactly where I was. And,
yeah, you're walking.
Exactly. And just something completely stopped it. And I knew that for me, that was the confirmation that Gaia gives us gifts. We have to use these gifts because they're not BS. They really work. Yeah, so again, just talking about negative and about negative, because I know that he has an attachment. He has an attachment. There is something that's not okay with him. There's something that's not okay in that house for a long time anyway. I've been seeing stuff in that house for a long time, but that's besides the point. But just, it's just so amazing that when you protect your space with your strength, and even with certain rituals like smudging, or you know, having strong guide, or having anything else, it works. So clearing your space helps a lot for you to develop.
Yes, it does. So I have bought a lot of shungite since listening to Nancy and Walt, and I've combined it with crystals. I also have the old horseshoes, the old iron horseshoes.
Oh my God, I was just talking about that. I was just talking to my friend about that today. It's amazing that you bring that up. Yes.
Yes, I know. So iron, so horseshoes, perfect piece of iron.
That's great. Yes. Yeah, she wants to get it. Well, she has a problem as well.
They've been used. Iron horseshoes have been traditionally nailed to the doorway of a house in Britain and probably elsewhere for, you know, time immemorial. I think, you know, we know this stuff innately.
When something works, it works.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, like Simon Parks was saying, that when he captures a djinn in an iron ring, which is what he does, his rings aren't closed, which means that they don't go mad, because the ring drives them mad. They got no corners to hang out in, no limits, boundaries, crazy, just insanity. You see, but an open ring, it gives them that gives them a sense of reality, a sense of boundary and things, and it seems to work. So,
very interesting.
So, you know, we got all these difficulties that we are faced with every day. And like I said, you know, we all have a little shovel for the big pile.
Yes.
You know,
we
all have our little piece of poo to deal with in our lives. And, you know, a lot of the time that poo gets dealt with us, you know, in our first 7 years. All the things, all these traumas that happen to us, that's part of us taking on the world karma. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, went to this terrible house, and, you know, my parents were awful, my dad used to go. And there was, you know, it's always, you know, my dad used to, because most of the time it has come down through that. But that's not to blame. I want to get away from blaming, because we have all been victimized. Now, that's not being victim-y either. We have been victimized by other races who don't give a damn. And, you know, we care, but they don't. And so they're never going to apologize. And so the same thing with our fathers, right? Everybody wants their father to suddenly turn into a nice guy. Never going to happen. They'll always be that way, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, it's like, I've seen this pattern a lot, all right? So it's never going to happen. They'll die bastards. They will, you know, they will go to their, they will literally go just to spite you. Just tell, really, come and look, I'll show you what a bastard I am. I'm just gonna nail. Yeah. I'm not even gonna call the priest on my deathbed. I'll be cursing you all day.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. But the reason that you came into this planet is because of that person's energy, that you don't want it to, propagate, proliferate.
They both work.
So we incarnate into these families. We incarnate into these families and stop the evil in one generation.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what light work is.
Perpetuate.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And so we have an opportunity to do as much as we can, as much as we can find ourselves able to handle. So that's why I talk about capacity. So to the extent that I can get to neutral and release the negative charges that I have about whatever I might, not be happy with, if I can release that, I increase my capacity to handle whatever I can that I came here on this earth to do. And exactly. you can feel it. It's palpable. It's a real thing that, just like you can feel your heartbeat in your body, you can feel in your being that you have the capacity to accomplish whatever it is that's in your life. So people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, what's going on in your life? Whatever that is, do it. And so that's, if you work at a sewage plant, that's your opportunity to do whatever you can there. Or if I work in an office and it all seems crazy and I need to go into the bathroom to meditate, then that's what I do. I don't think, I should be able to go into a velvet-lined room because I'm so good. It doesn't matter. It's all about what's inside of me. That's exactly where it takes place. It's not actually happening outside of me. It's happening inside of me. And so by my choices and by my willingness to notice what's going on around me, I'm creating capacity to accomplish whatever I came here to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can really turn into an incredible sense of happiness, even when things may, from somebody else's perspective, look like it's not very good. If I see it as I'm having the opportunity to accomplish what I came here to do, doesn't matter what it looks like, I have this sense of just satisfaction that I'm doing it. Whatever it is, it doesn't even matter what it is. Each day is a new day. So each day brings that piece that it has of that big picture. And for me, finding Wolf Spirit has really helped that whole idea, because I was looking for a bigger perspective. And so this universal perspective of multi-interplanetary, multi-galactic has really helped. It doesn't feel so closed in. It's like, there's room to breathe. We got planets beyond planets that we don't even know about, and so we can breathe. And we have room to experience what we need to experience, accomplish what we need to accomplish, and then we've got more to do.
Exactly.
So we're not claustrophobic. We're not tied into some tight little thing. And that's why imagination is so fantastic, because if something's not working in what I think my visual world is that I can see with my eyes open, just close my eyes and imagine it whatever I want it to be, whatever I need it to be, so that I can take that next step or go to that other level. If it feels like it's underneath me or above me or beside me, it doesn't matter. Imagine it and then do it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about will.
Yeah, yeah.
If we can learn how to take responsibility for our lives, that's the key.
Yeah.
And as JP said, not blame what happened on other people, not wait for others to apologize, because that's not the purpose for us being here. the reason why we, as he said, we were born in certain families is to learn from those things, because there's something that in our journey, our soul journey, that's the lesson we need to learn. So if we're waiting for people to kind of stroke our ego and make us feel better, then what's the point?
Yeah, and then there's this weird thing that happens where the people that you thought you were going to blame because you didn't like what they did, you end up being grateful for whatever happened because it released you.
Correct.
To move on.
Correct. Okay, let's jump in there, right? Because this is where the thing that they call the Ho'oponopono, this is how it all fits in. Okay, so let's just take what you've just been talking about and then we'll nuggetize that, because the first thing that they say, you know, we're all part of the one source expressing itself as God, seeing itself and experiencing itself. Okay, so we're all one. We are all love. So I love you. You love me. We all love each other. We are love. This is it. Yeah. So I love you.
Yeah.
All right. That's the first one. And then the second one is, of all these interactions that we've had over multiple lifetimes in multiple universes, because you are standing here in front of me with the thing that you are, that you thung, whatever's happened between us, you know, if I take all the responsibility for it, or at least I can make an offer to say, right, okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm really sorry that this has happened to you. At least the very least is I'm sorry this has happened to you. The greatest is, I'm sorry that I have caused this to happen to you. All right. And then you can then come to, please forgive me for all of those, you know, for all of that stuff, you know, or please forgive me for, you know, cause you got to forgive somebody. You just got to let go. please do the forgiving. All right. You got to let go of something and then you'll stop being, you'll stop having these feelings. And then, right at the end of all after, and it's usually, I often wait just a second or so to allow that please forgive me to kind of, again, permeate into the fabric of the universe, infuse like a tea bag spreading through the tea, or the hot boiling water, and allow that forgiveness to, and then I often feel a kind of just a tiny, you know, a tiny little movement. That shows that's like a timeline reset. You know, cause there's this, this formula resets timelines like you've never believed. It changes people from bad people into good people. It's just incredible.
Wow.
Yes.
And
so the last thing that you say, do you say thank you?
And I was just about to get there. And because of that, because you've allowed everybody's timeline to change by doing this tiny little thing, you know, I've just reduced one tiny thimble full of the hatred in the universe and turned it into love. All right. Just one tiny thimble full, but at least I'm making headway. It's like, and if everybody does a thimble full a day, you know, eventually we'll get through it. It might take a while, but this is what we have to do. And then, as we take command of it, all right, okay, a thimbleful. All right, today I'll take a cupful. You know, tomorrow I'll take a pint. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's deal with it, you know. Next week I'm going to industrialize it. And I'll be able to process 2,000 tons of this stuff per second. You know. And then we can evolve the whole universe really quickly. Because it's the ballast that's holding us all back. It's all the cording to all these negative entities that we, you know, in our, healing processes, we cut these cords and we, you know, allow these things to snap back to wherever they go. That we have a process that is happening. We're needing to leave the ground, as it were, like a hot air balloon. And yet there is all this ballast, these anchors that are holding us down, these ropes. This is what our current process is basically, all these ropes are karma. And this is karma that is holding the entire human race back. And in, I'm not just talking about the entire human race on planet Earth, but the entire human race on and off planet.
Everywhere.
Because there's more than, you know, there's only like 7 billion of us here. There's more than that. Mm-hmm. There's loads of us. Yeah. Loads of us. You know, oh man, every time I read something, I feel, find out more. You know, the whole solar system. I am so interesting and I even bore myself. No, it's because I've been up late. I'm up late. I got
poor
up early.
Thing.
Poor me.
So
poor bloody me.
It's 3 o'clock there.
Yeah, well, it's 4 o'clock where Nora is, and she's blaming insomnia, but, you know, she just
I'm
wants
a lucky
to be,
one.
She just wants
I
to win. You just want to be on the radio, love, don't you?
Yes, I do. I love the feeling.
She rocks the, she, this woman knows how to rock the mic, you know.
Continuing with your thought about healing the universe.
Yes.
So you're talking about linear time. What about healing our past lives? When we reconcile or resolve something in a moment today, is it connected to the moments that we consider the past? I don't even know if it is the past.
Yes, perfect. Yes, very true. Alright, so here we are. So in this moment, there is you, Chris, on the end of this telephone. But there's all these other Chrises, that are going about having their experiences. And if you were to somehow sit and be, more than just sit, but somehow still everything, all of those Chrises can all sit together in the same place at the same time. So if you say, if you, for instance, do a meditation every Friday, you're putting out a signal to the rest of the existences of you that, okay, yeah, I am spending, I am committing myself to spending some time with all of you in the guise of spending time with myself. But really, it's all these other quantum versions of you who are living in different parallel dimensions and time frames. So, for instance, you may be in a time frame in the 15th century, which is apparently quite a nice place to be. Then you may have a time frame where you're in the French Revolution. There may be a time frame where you're, you know, there at the birth of Christ, say, you know. There you may have a timeline, a time frame, and they're all existing all at the same time. Or, let's say, all at the same moment. A moment is a thing. It can last for a very short period of time, but it's a frequency. It's more like a radio station that you tune into. You know, just get there and lock into that frequency. So, you can then, so then you can take all of you, all of these different people who have had these terrible times sometimes, and schlep them all onto a new timeline where you're saying, look, we've seen all this crap. We don't want any more of this. Let's try something new. What a good idea. You know, let's do this. So, and here's your opportunity now to take all of the things that you hate and decide that you don't want to have them anymore, and you'll do the opposite to make whatever it is manifest. Whatever you're doing to make this hatred manifest, turn it round. You know, if you don't like going to work, well, stop going to work and do what you love doing. And don't listen to anybody else, because that's always the worst idea. Especially don't listen to guys you might be calling into a radio station from. Certainly don't listen to them, because they really don't. Look, who am I? I'm chop liver. You know, I'm nothing. I mean, literally, chop liver.
Okay.
But, I mean...
chop liver, today you did something a few weeks ago for me that was actually significant. I called in with a meditation that I had done that was very scary, and I had seen a dungeon and a person in a very dark dungeon. There were sounds, there were bells, and evil laughing and all that stuff. You brought me through a process to reach out to that. And I don't know if you remember this, but that has transformed that. That place doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, wow. That, so how was that? And you retrieved a fragment there, didn't you?
Right, right.
What, so what's the, how's that fragment been growing?
Well, what I've done is, just remembered. So what you had me do was reach out my hand to the person that was in that dungeon, and the hand was very tiny. I brought it close to me and actually embraced and hugged it, and it came into my body. It was absorbed into my body.
Yes.
And what went away when that happened was fear. So I know there, that, it, that, vision, that experience of feeling that place doesn't exist anymore for me. So that, what that's helped me do is feel more, more solid in who I am. And, my, it's confidence. So even talking about, when we were talking earlier about the confidence and the faith to take a step forward, that has, even though that was just a few weeks ago, that has contributed to strengthening that part of myself.
Excellent, Chris.
And, it's beautiful. So there's been other experiences like that in the past, but that is one of the significant ones. And that meditation where I first saw that place was many years ago, probably 20 years ago. It doesn't exist anymore. And that has been a tremendous help to me in having confidence to expand. Even, you know, telling you that I have a medium that I talk with about my progress in expanding my psychic abilities, and it's helped me even with that.
Hmm. So that's brilliant. And I remember that was a very, it was a very emotional scene. Now I remember who you are. It's like, all you had to do is tell me, just say dungeon, the dungeon kid, you know.
Yeah, the dungeon. And here's the other thing, JP, that's so significant, and I want to, encourage you about your work. So you had me breathe and then, explain to you what I felt. And I felt a sharp-edged rock sort of a thing when I breathed. And then as you worked with me, it got softer and it exited out of my back. And then I have listened to some people you've had on your show that talk about chakras and where they are. And the heart chakra, one of your guests said the heart chakra is actually in the middle of your back.
All right, we're still on Wolf Spirit Radio. That was Revolution Radio. So
I thought that was significant, that piece exited out of my body in the middle of my back through my heart chakra.
That is significant. And so
and
here's the thing.
Your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, like I said before, I really love testimonies. So if you'd like to kind of jot a few ideas down about how this helped you, I'd love that, because I've got a little page building up and it's brilliant. It's really nice to know, you know, that I've been able to help people. And you know,
I'll do it as well.
Thank you, because we got a long way to go, and these are just baby steps, because
yes.
You know, by I helped you reconnect with a part of yourself that has been fragmented, and we're all fragmented. Mm-hmm. All of us have been fragmented by trauma throughout the ages. That's what that was their job. But here's the thing, all right, and here's, you're gonna love this, right? So we take our positions. We say, okay, I'm going to be the first wave onto this planet. We can go in and we're going to beat evil and we're going to stop it. And then, you know, three or four lifetimes in, I can't take any more of this, you know, and 47 lifetimes later, here we are in the 21st century. And we've been beaten, mangled, sharpened, razored, you know, all kinds of terrible, atrocious things have happened to us all, right? We've been turned into mincemeat, but like the Terminator, inside us, we're still here. Inside the meat suit, I'll just grow another bit back. You know, you can cut yourself and you can grow back, you know?
Yeah, we're still here. Mm.
We're still all here. Mm-hmm. So, here's the thing. Yeah. So, you can kill me, I reincarnate. Hey, you haven't got rid of me yet. You know, I'm still bloody here. So. So, here's the thing.
Sounds like Monty Python.
It is a bit. I mean, Monty Python does show the absurdity, because a lot, sometimes the things that they say were actually the real things that people said, and they saw how absurd it was. Anyhow, just to kind of round all these things up, so we've got this moment where we realize that we have been producing it all. We can turn everything round. All right, so we've come here, right? I've suffered, all that stuff. Okay, fine. Yeah, we've all suffered. Don't want to minimize everything. Everybody's journey is really important and very painful. That's why I have this show, because people have the chance to kind of open their heart and talk about, you know, their journey. And it's not always the best thing. It's not always the easiest thing. Most people have had a terrible time. Most people have been abused. Most people, if they haven't been raped, they've been cut. You know, something has been incredibly traumatic. So, does that mean trauma is bad?
How we look at it.
Exactly. It brings us all the way back to the question at the beginning of the show. What is objectively good and what is objectively bad? And it turns out there isn't anything.
Yeah.
As you say, Chris, as you say, it's plus or minus or neutral. That's it.
Yeah.
And when we can get to that place, we level up. And the level up that we get to is where we say, right, okay, well, if that's what it's all about, I can now get on with what I want to do, because now I've realized that the things that were stopping me from doing what I want to do were complete illusions. And I can just step out and say, right, okay, I want to start some business, right? I want to invent something and I will put it out. All right, so I buy a website. You know, I buy a domain, and with that domain I create pictures, and I write words, and I make colors, and I make a theme. And lo and behold, the thing is a real thing. No, it's really just a website. Yeah, but it's a real thing. I got, people are visiting, I get clicks. Yeah, but it's an illusion. It's just data. It's just pictures. It's just like the patterns of noughts and ones. Yeah, but it's real. Yes, but it's an illusion. Yeah, like money is real. No, that's an illusion too. Yeah, but what about divorce? Well, what about marriage? That's an illusion too. You know, it's a, you know, this whole legal thing, you know? Legality. Legal name.
Contract.
Yeah, contracts.
Contract.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's an illusion. You know, and one by one, step by step, we disconnect ourselves. We disconnect those cords. Like that. It sounds like that when they snap. You know? We disconnect those cords. You're always making noises now.
Yeah. I am.
Noisy.
It's my bottle of water.
Yeah. So, just teasing it. So we've got all of these things that we can bring together. And the main thing is we release it. We release all these things by forgiveness. We give back that thing that we thought they'd taken from us.
Yes.
Which is an illusion. Which is an illusion. They never took anything from us. They never did anything to us. That rich superstar who walked past me, and 5 minutes later I fell off the bridge, they didn't do it. They didn't mean anything terrible to me. I didn't do it because of them. It was like, you know, I had to go through that process. I had to become so obsessive and so jealous and so angry and so completely dissociated from my own jealousy and anger, which happened as a result of that I have to go through all that palaver. And then I can realize, well, actually, I always loved you, you know. So I'm sorry that I had these terrible ideas of you, about you, because I really, you know, I thought you were quite an amazing superstar. And so, you know, please forgive me, even though you didn't know that I needed to be forgiven, but I need to ask it because that's the magic. it's about being in a passive mode for it, you know. By saying I forgive you, that's magnanimous, and it's like disingenuous? Disingenuous, I think.
No.
Yeah, dismissive. No. Saying I forgive you is like, I'm superior, you're inferior, right? You see?
Yeah.
So you can't say that. You have to ask somebody for their forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah. It has to go the other way. And so all around, all of those things all finally come together, and you then step up, and then you've made the timeline shift, and you've stepped up, and you can say, wow, for all these terrible things that I thought were terrible, they've all come out now that I've now got this new superpower. So thank you. And yeah, that's how thankful we have to say thank you. We have to really, you know, the more emotion we can put into this Ho'oponopono, the more sorry we can feel, the more humble we can feel asking for forgiveness, and the more grateful we can feel and really emphatically give some gratefulness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The greater the shift.
Yeah.
Do you do this in meditation? When you're describing this, this is a meditation that you are taking yourself through, right?
Sometimes I'm riding my bicycle.
Oh, okay.
I
just want to make it clear, you're not talking to the person that is the subject of your forgiveness,
how
right?
How can you? Like, I'm just saying, like, it could be a superstar that would never have heard of you.
Right.
It's the same process. It doesn't matter. Because the other person didn't know that they've hurt you. 99% of the time, the person does not know that they've hurt you.
Right.
They may be your father. They may be a bastard. They may be all this.
Yeah.
But they don't know that they've hurt you. And for you to come up to them and you say, but you did this and you did this and you did that and you did this. No.
Right. There's no purpose in it.
Yeah. Yes. The other thing is like, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that and you didn't do that. Well, no, I didn't. So is that my action?
Yeah.
Of not doing this? You know, how are you complaining about something that I did when I didn't do that?
Yeah.
Leave everybody alone, will you? Just stop it.
Yeah.
You know, people who are like this are just pouring ink into the water all the time, and they need to stop it.
Yeah.
And those people will always go around pointing to other people saying, you need to take responsibility for that. You need to do that. Yeah, quack, quack, quack. I hear that. Quack. Quack, 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 quack. Doesn't it really annoy you?
Exactly.
Can you feel those muscles in the back of your neck just kind of tighten up when I make that quack, quack, quack noise?
Yeah.
Because for me, you know, even the most mild-mannered person that I am makes me want to grab someone by the hair and throw them against a metal bar. You know, when I hear that quack, 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 quack sound. So please.
It's quite irritating.
It's more than irritating. It's like it causes violence, you know. But here's the thing. People who make that quacking sound, they are the ones who are always saying, oh, my dad beat me up, and all these people, they always pick on me, and I'm always picked on by this. And you wonder, and you think to yourself, actually, that's quite obvious why they do that. Because you're just you're just making this horrible quacking noise that people just want you to shut up. And wherein there is nothing to say, then thereof one should not speak.
Yes.
Or quack.
Yeah, that's true.
So, may there be less quackage in this planet.
Amen to that.
Because, you know, quacking, you know, what you hear, you know, what I'm saying is quackage, right? Is that's what we call being a victim.
Yes.
Complaining.
Yeah, complaining. Complaining, which is, to me, is like, don't complain about it. Do something about it. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You can share what you have, but you have at least something positive to bring with. Like, if you want to share something, share it with the purpose of giving something positive, but not saying it just to complain and feel like a victim and wanting people to to feel sorry for you, and that's just not good. That's not good.
Well, that just keeps, that just encourages people to be quacking. Because people, because what happens is people hear the quacking and they think, oh no, I hate hearing this, so I'll just say there, and bargain with them, I'll do anything that you want, just stop making that sound, right? So that's the other approach, you say, well, I'm gonna smash your head against this railing, or I'll sacrifice anything, just stop making that sound, and I'll do anything to allay your to stop you from feeling that terrible thing, but that just buys into their victim mentality. Rather than focusing the person back on their quack, get back to the quack. And you were talking about the heart center, right? And the heart center is the one that needs to be activated, and because that's the one that always gets closed, because.
Well, that's the one that might be having some new colors coming in the chakra.
I'm sorry, I spoke over you. Say again.
Oh, I'm sorry, JP. That's the one that might be having some new colors coming in the chakra.
Oh, the new colors, right.
Yes, it's. I think they're coming in the heart chakra, maybe other ones as well. But the mixed colors, so the heart chakra... traditionally has the green and maybe a yellow green. There's starting to be some other colors, sort of a mix of gold, and then seeing the green around the edge and the gold in the middle.
Yeah, that's the next octave, you see.
Okay.
Like gold. So gold is the octave of yellow.
What is the octave of yellow?
Gold.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's, see, and again, my noticing is in observation.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't moved into understanding yet. I'm looking forward to.
Well, Chris, it's all linked to music.
Yeah.
If you know music, if you understand, right, so, here's my understanding, right? If you understand how the harmonics and the connection, like mechanically, physically, like the harmonics of length of the string and the notes that it makes, if you understand that, then you can understand how, that's 23. That is 2 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah? Because if you divide the string into 2, you get an octave. If you divide the string into 3, you get the first harmonic, the fifth.
Okay.
The perfect fifth. Okay. So that's the first division. That's the fractal division of the universe. Everything is like based on that. Especially the whole Pythagorean 2-4-3-2 cycles a second thing. And all these other numbers, the pyramid codes and all that stuff.
The golden triangle.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to learn. Those things.
Oh, absolutely.
I look forward. Those are the steps, in your, the baby steps that you described. Those are the steps I look forward to taking. I don't have all of the knowledge of those things yet. So. I look forward to it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's not about knowledge. I might appear to have a lot of knowledge. I'm not. I don't. I don't have knowledge. I have, keys. And if you... So, for instance, I know... Yeah, one key. Is I know if there's 12 of one thing and 12 and another thing, there's a correspondence. You know? I know that if there's 7 of one thing and there's 7 of another thing, there's a direct correspondence again. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that keys, that's the key. You understand? Once you know the key, then everything is unlocked. Sense. And you can then say, well, if I know this and this is in that position and there's this other list and here's the corresponding thing in that position, then I also know that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And that's why I can read people. That's how I read people. I don't know you. I know energy. And from combining energies, I know what that, you know, we all know what 1930s harmonies sound like, 1940s harmonies in the big bands. You know, had that particular slightly metallic quality. You know? So that's a harmony, right? And that's a particular harmony. It's, you know, there are different harmonies, but that's one particular one. That's, I think it's a minor second or something. No, not minor second. Major second? Minor third? Probably. But that's, you know, once you understand that from one domain to another, there are predictable, links and cross-references, then it doesn't matter what area you're speaking of, you can always speak the truth because there's an underlying truth to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all these laws of correspondences. And that's all the laws of, and that's all the qualities,
universal
say, of
laws.
Exactly. And all the qualities of say, astrology, right? So when I'm talking about qualities, right? Pisces has a quality. Aries has a quality. It's different from Pisces, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? And then you've got the fire, earth and water signs. They different qualities, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got the cardinal fixed immutables. Those are different qualities as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Right? So, what we have just discussed in the last minute is the entire key to the entire universe. Because you've got the... really? Really? Because it's like we got the 3, we got the 7, we got the 4. And we got the 12, because 3 plus 4 is 7, right? Those are the 7 rays. 3 times 4 is 12, which is the astrological signs. So each astrological sign is a combination of 2 rays.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Well, it does. So
right.
And for a person develop a quality of understanding, maybe we could say, what would you suggest for someone like me who has described, you know, where I am, and you're explaining a few keys, if I look to you as a mentor, because you've traveled this way, perhaps a little more than me, what would be your advice for me to develop these qualities of understanding the keys?
Well, I'd write.
Okay.
You have a laptop?
Yes.
All right, I'd sit with my laptop with a cup of coffee or whatever, for half an hour each day, just to write. And see what happens. See what happens if you do that every day for a week, you know, if that works.
Just write anything?
Just,
anything that you...
Anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could even say, you know, if you're feeling blocked, just write hello. because, look, what I'm asking you to do is to allow a channel from your higher self to you to open up. For you to invite yourself, don't be scared, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already introduced you to another you, and it wasn't scary. It just carried fear. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can introduce, and in fact, you could start with that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And have a conversation with her. Ask her what she thinks of your life.
Okay.
Because, I guarantee you will surprise yourself when you write down and then you come back and you read it, you know, an hour or so later and you think, wow, I could not have made that up. I could not have imagined that. How does that work? This is freaky. I've got to talk more with this kid. And then you can talk to them. And then you can talk to them and you can, because she has been with you for a long time and has watched you. She knows you more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Wow. That's intense.
Wow. I know. Yeah, I'll tell you, did you listen to that one, Nora?
Which one, sorry?
Because it was live on air, wasn't it? It was a journey, is
that? Yeah.
Yes. I was just saying before I remember it. Yeah, it was really intense. That was a really intense reading. I remember it.
Yeah, it was very significant.
It was very emotional.
It was traveling. For me, it felt like traveling in time and then back again.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Definitely we had the old, journey harp kind of.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's kind of what we did when you did the reading for me, JP, but in private.
Yeah,
it was exactly the same thing.
That's right. You know, some people just like, okay, well, I got no money, so I'm going to do it on air, all right? And it's brave. I honor your brave.
It's very brave.
Yeah, really brave.
My God.
Yeah. So if you're not so brave, just come, just give me some cash and we'll do a quiet one on the sly. Anybody listening. But but the thing is, in a way it's a journey. In another way, you've always been there.
Yeah.
Both of you have always felt this feeling, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were very persistent feelings, and it's like, okay, so here's the next question. Have you noticed yourself noticing that you have these other extreme feelings sometimes?
Extreme feelings.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So each of those is an opportunity. Each of those is a fragment. Each of those is a potential to heal. Each of those is a potential to learn. Each of those has a fragment of your past life, of your present life. Each of those has a superpower behind it all. And then we can say, all these people that abused us in past lives. Okay, thank you. Thank you, because I needed to carry this energy because of the job that I'm doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know, it was a pain in the ass. It hurt.
Yeah.
But still, for all that, I got the training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I think this is the hardest thing, this is the hardest thing to achieve, is being grateful to those who hurt us. Because it takes a lot of courage to get to that point. Because that's the moment you realize that I'm done blaming, and, it's time for me to take responsibility completely for my life. And that's something I think a lot of people are afraid to face. Understandably so. But that's the only way. That's the only way.
Yeah. A method of beginning the journey of facing those things and with the end in mind of being able to thank these. So what I do is picture myself on a stage with the people in my life, especially the difficult people, as actors in my life as a theater. And so like you would at the end of a performance where you had actors that were the villains and they were against you in the plot. At the end, everyone thanks each other.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the end of a performance. I actually had a regression once. I can't remember exactly what the regression was, but there were all these different lifetimes. I went to different points in different lifetimes. And it was just, what it was like? It was like a puzzle. It was like one of these rat mazes, in each of the lifetimes, I got the kind of the nugget from each of them. And then right at the end of it, I acted in the right way and boom. And it's like within seconds, everybody was like out of character, lighting up cigarettes and having a drink and everything. Hey, well done. Yeah, isn't it? And it's a funny old world out there because they do that. I'm sure. Have you guys had that experience?
I'm saying this. Yeah. Same thing, JP. It's like this is an act. And we evoke responses and reactions from perhaps it's contract.
perhaps we agreed to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it does feel that way.
Yes, I believe that too.
And so again, I'm the observer. I'm watching myself acting in this play. And if I can have that kind of detachment, then I can allow myself to move through forgiveness and then thank you.
I tell you, by using the Ho'oponopono,
mm-hmm.
the first time I came across it, I had so many miracles that I was a complete convert. There was one friend of mine, she came around to my house with her new boyfriend, and she had this, she was having trouble with her ex-husband as usual, and the guy had never, he was a grumpy old bugger, and he never, said anything nice in 20 years of marriage, and and she was all glum, and the boyfriend was glum because she was glum, and it was a terrible situation. So I said, look at me. Repeat after me. I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. See, it's a really squeeze it out. Thank you. Thank you. All right, and that's all we did. I am not shitting you. I am not shitting you. 5 minutes later, she gets a text on her phone.
Yeah.
5 minutes later.
No way.
It's from her ex-husband, remember, who never says sorry for anything. The text read, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jay. I was such an asshole last night. Can we work things out?"
Wow. Whoa.
I am not shitting you. That really, really happened.
I believe you. That's a vibration. Yeah.
And, she just repeated the word. She was hardly even feeling it.
Wow.
But because of the depth of the previous feeling of that glumness, by focusing the emotional charge of that glumness.
Yeah.
Bam. And, timelines change, and she didn't do anything. He changed. How did that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen? Unless you've moved everybody onto another timeline.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes.
Because, well, would you say it's also true? They can't stay in the same place. If you shift your energy, you are no longer in the same proximity to them.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yeah, because we are all vibration.
That doesn't mean that we get to control what they do, but when we shift, they shift. It can't be anything else.
Yeah, but the trick is that you can't shift to make them shift, because that's still egotistical.
No.
And, why are you doing that? You just shift for your own sake, for God's sake.
That's right. You're shifting because that is what is good. We're making ourselves the best that we can be. And that's what we can control. So we do that, everything shifts. And sometimes these things that seem miraculous show up for us. Not all the time. And that's okay too.
That doesn't matter. Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we change for the better. It's for our sake, as you said, JP.
Yeah.
It's about shifting the frequency. This story is amazing. I mean, the emotions.
That's real. So when JP was describing what's illusion, when we forgive and we shift our internal being, we release anger or resentment or whatever it is that releases when we
charge. Charge. We release charge.
That's real.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You see, here's the thing. My guides call it alphysy, right? Yeah, we got alchemy, we got alphysy, right? Which is explaining metaphysical terms, explaining spiritual things in terms of electricity or in physics terms. You see, instead of talking about chemistry, because we use.
Yeah.
The language of alchemy a lot, and particularly, we have personal chemistry with other people. you know, we neutralize people as, you know, people are, you know. So anyway, so if we can then take it to charge, you know, because it really chemistry is about charge, but it's using the frequency of chemicals. Now, if we can take it to pure charge, which is, you know, using electricity, and we can see that, yes, as we say, there is plus charge, there is minus charge, and there's naught charge. There's neutral, zero, or divine neutral, divine masculine, divine feminine, divine neutral. You know, no one is superior. It just goes from left to right all the time. If it was superior, then we'd be walking around in circles, wouldn't we? Because we'd have one leg bigger than the other.
And there are people who do go in circles.
Some people.
Because they're chasing one charge or the other incessantly.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Yeah. There's a lot of New Agey people say, well, I only want positive. Well.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. You know, if you're a capacitor, I want positive. Good. Right, okay. So that was 5 microseconds. What are you going to do for the rest of the time? Oh, I'll just sit here holding this positive charge. Good.
Yes.
Good. Enjoy that. See you. Bye. No, sir. You know, you're not in my circuit. My circuit's alternating. You know, we vary from rate to weight. In my brain, and in everybody's brain who is normal, we circulate from left to right all the time. It's a slow swaying kind of, hang on. It's about a 7 second cycle or something like that. Like it sways from 1, 2, 3 to one side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know. So it's got a very long wavelength. And there are all kinds of flows and cycles in the body. For instance, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you notice more when you've got a cold is that your cycle of nostrils. One nostril will be open and the other one will be more closed. And you notice it much more when you've got a cold. But that cycle, you know, you don't even need to think about it. It just happens.
Yeah.
So that's that left-right cycle goes on all the time. This male-female. In a healthy, normal person, you think like a man, you think like a woman. You think like a man, you think like a woman. That's what healthy is. That's what healthy means. If you're unhealthy, you're stable. Stable implies that it's like four square. But in balance, like the balance of a wheel, when you take your car into the mechanic and he puts a little lead weight, taps a little lead weight into the rim of the wheel because it's out of balance and he brings it back to balance, that's balance. Yes. Dynamic. Yeah, the wheel is turning, male, female, male, female, male, female, all the time with less friction. Because it's in balance. It's not wobbling. You know, you throw a shoe into a washing machine. It will make the whole thing vibrate and maybe even tear itself apart from the vibration. Sorry, there are YouTubes of people who put bricks in washing machines just to make them go like that.
Oh my goodness.
Photonic induction is one of my favorites. He gets large voltages and blows things up with it. It's great fun. It's a boy thing. Anyhow. sorry, but boys do like making things explode.
They like breaking stuff and then making things explode.
Anyway.
That's fun.
It's fun. It's good fun. So that's what we enjoy doing. But where was I? Yeah, blowing things up. Before I was blowing things up.
The brain and
oh yeah, going from left to right and the cycle. Yes.
Left to right.
And it's the balance between those. Balance is dynamic. Balance doesn't mean you're kind of standing like a statue on a tightrope. Yeah. Balance means you're moving forward on the tightrope. And yes, you're on a tightrope, but you're just walking along a line. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can stay in line and you're top of, you know, I'm not very good at, you know, I'm not particularly, I noticed this, I was riding my bicycle this afternoon. I got this amazing electric bicycle and, riding it this afternoon, I was noticing its center of balance is very high up
because it's got these enormous lead batteries all the way up the stem. And, you know, it really, you know, you can really feel less than safe if your center of balance is high. You know, if you keep your center of balance low, near the ground, then you feel stable. So there's another thing, you know, where is your center of balance? What is the place? Are you grounded or are you kind of wobbling out? Has somebody thrown a brick in your washing machine? If your chakras are like washing machines because they're always moving, are there bricks in your chakras? Think about that.
Good question.
Blockages. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, is it, you know, maybe we can, even have a metaphysical, domestic metaphors. You know,
that's what we say clearing. That's what a clearing is, right? Clear residue out of your chakras or your light body or whatever words you like.
Yeah, well, there's lots. I mean, when I work with people, there are three levels where people can become, well, for want of a better word, I can't think of anything better, but infected, by stuff, you know, because we've been weakened. They've thrown all sorts of crap at us. Now listen, today I went out to the shops and it's cheap as chips, buy vitamin D3. I keep saying it to everybody and nobody gets it. You know, they'll go, oh, I got a cold. Well, did you buy any vitamin D when I told you? Oh no, cause I go out in the sun. Yeah, well, you've got a cold, haven't you? Well, yeah, but I go out in the sun all the time, so I've got plenty of vitamin D, so I should be healthy. No, because the sun is blocked by the chemtrails. That's why you're ill. So go and buy some vitamin D, you idiot. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I go out in the sun. Shut up and go, anyway. So that's the gist of things. So today, that's my last, last one from that one.
That sounds like one, yeah.
That's the last one left, but I got a whole packet of them. And, I also bought, this stuff. I don't know if it's doing any good. I don't know. These things are like horse pills. This is magnesium malate. Supports muscles and energy production. I can do with some muscles. So I'll see what happens. You'll see on Thursday how little muscle I have. it's bulk, but not muscle. Anyway, oh wow. It's going to be fun, really.
You crack me up, JP.
Oh, you wait. So I'll crack up in front of you. You know, you'll see me crack up, literally. So look, it's been great. It's, what is it, 3:30 now. Are you tired yet, my dear?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, Nora, you know.
Yes, Nora, are you tired?
No, I'm ecstatic.
You sound bright as a button, don't you? You sound glowing like a star.
I just enjoyed listening to the both of you and just love the energy. For me, when I'm with people who I resonate with and feel in harmony, I light up.
Excellent.
It doesn't matter.
Do too, Nora.
Really?
Thank you both of you for allowing me to speak to you. This has been very enjoyable.
Alright, so here's the thing you can both do right now. Go and get a bottle or a bowl or something of water.
Okay.
Sit. Alright, so take a couple of those deep breaths that I showed you, right? Just to clear yourself down, alright? And sit with the feeling of that ecstatic feeling at holding the bowl just in front of your heart. Everybody can do this, by the way. All right. Just throw your joy into that water, knowing that the water will hold that feeling.
Okay.
All right. Now, pour yourself a glass, have some in the morning, but more importantly, put some in a bottle. And then you can use a drop of that. Because you've just created your own spiritual essence.
Nice.
For you.
Nice, I love that.
That's your joy. The flavor of your joy.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, JP.
That is beautiful.
There you go.
Thank you, JP. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, JP. It was lovely.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a tantric ceremony with yourself. So, listen, I'm going to go back to some more... I might go and get some Muggsy in a minute. But we have some Muggsy, and then I'll put more Douglas Adams and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Actually, it's not Douglas Adams. They made this... They made this new series about 20 years after he died. He died in like the 1980s something. Yeah. I met him in 1982, I think, in a bookshop in Islington. And he signed a copy of the book. And I said, why 42, Douglas?
Oh, wow.
And he said, ah, well, it was a number of the 70s. I said, so what's the number of the 80s? He said, well, 12.
Oh.
So that was the one conversation I had with Douglas Adams himself. And, you know, there we go. 12. The law of 12. The law of correspondences, you know. He may have been joking. It's very likely he did. The universe may have been using him as a mouthpiece to me, telling me some great truth as something just off the top of Douglas Adams' head.
Could very well be.
Yeah.
It's very strange that you say this now, because at the beginning of the show, when you were talking about the number 23, I don't know why the first thing that came to my mind was the number 12, because that's the number that keeps coming to my life all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying 12. It's interesting.
Well, there's 12, there's 23. See, we could go, you know, the whole number thing. People are, you know,
fascinating.
It's fascinating. And there's lots of people who are really into the numbers, and they go crazy for every word that you say. And it's like, it's a bit tiring.
No, that's too much. Again, it's about balance.
Yeah, it is,
isn't
it?
Take things too seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, put that notepad away. Ah, scribble, 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 scratch, scribble, scribble. Oh man, I gotta write it down. Oh, you know, what does that mean? I don't know. I can't read these notes. You know, I need somebody to read these notes for me. Oh, no, but look. Anyway, long story. Thank you so much, Nora. Thank you so much, Chris. It's been a great
laugh.
Thank you, JP. Thank you so much.
And I haven't actually got an out, because, like, we went past the outro. Do I have any? Let me just see if I've got a bumper for Journeys. Have I got a Journeys with JP outro? No. Oh, there's one.
I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to go write my thing for you on your website.
Excellent. Thank you so much. There's a contact form in somewhere just in the personal session. I think it says about me or contact me, or it's all in the menu at the top there. There's a contact me somewhere.
Okay.
All right, and I'll just drop it in there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nora.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.